you're looking for one of the most beautiful and playable custom acoustics on the planet, look no further than Ed Rice at Toe Ear Guitars. Ed is a true artist, transforming exotic woods into magnificent, sweet-sounding instruments. Go to toeearguitars.us, that's toeearguitars.us, and contact Ed today.
Hey everybody, Brad and I want to say thank you for listening and thank you for the support. Please continue to listen and share this podcast on all platforms that you can.
And if you'd like to support us monthly, we're set up now where you can go to anchor.fm/Top Hill Recording, hit the support button, 99 cents, $4.99 or $9.99 per month. Any amount would be greatly appreciated. Now back to the podcast. Top Hill Recording Podcast, episode 133. What's going on, Neil?
What's up, dude?
Man, I saw you out there working hard today. What you have going on?
I am converting an old slide, swing set into a greenhouse.
So you don't think your kids are going to get on that play set anymore?
Nah, man, they're done. I think they, too old. Ethan's, almost 6 foot one. He's done. He's my baby, so,
Well, we're passing around a bottle of Bullet.
Yeah, that's actually Bullet, guys. Don't let the thing fool you. Thank you, Mr. Hookup.
We got some great guests here. We've got Justin Miller and the Elements of Sound. Welcome, guys.
What's up?
How's it going?
Cheers. Let's get this thing going.
Cheers. Clinks.
Yeah. I always feel like it's time to start the podcast when I take that first sip.
Good. Are you supposed to smell it first, or
you can? You could twirl it, smell it.
we
us what kind of nose it has and what kind of finish.
Right. I smell wallet.
Are you?
Yeah, I can taste the wallet.
Are you one of those guys, Justin?
Not at all.
I can taste bourbon.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I'm gonna let you guys introduce yourselves. Let's do that real quick and introduce you to the listeners.
Cool. I'm Justin Miller.
My name's Noel Calilung.
Nathan King.
And Noel, Nathan, I guess you guys are the Elements.
Supposed to
be. We are the Elements. I'm the drumming element.
I play bass and some mandolin on a few songs.
Oh, sweet. Oh, cool.
Well, Justin, let's start with you. Why don't you take us back to childhood and tell us about your early memories of music?
Early memories would probably be me doing choir. Always had a piano kind of sitting around the house. Never had lessons or anything like that. My sister is really good at music. She went to IUS and graduated with music major. So I kind of always followed her footsteps. So she still comes out to shows now and takes the show and kind of steals it when she gets up there and sings. Yeah. So
older sister.
Yeah. She's fantastic. So I learned a lot from her. Didn't really start playing guitar until I was about 17 and just kind of started picking it up from there. And then that's about as early as it goes, I think.
So what'd your road with the guitar look like? Did you start with lessons or did you start?
No lessons. Yeah, I started just kind of hanging out in the room with Noel. And we were just kind of kicking it, doing stuff that people do at 17.
So you guys been around or been together for a while then, huh?
Yeah, we've been friends for a long time. It just kind of started like that. And then we kind of kicked it off and started playing music. I think when I was probably 26 is when we got our first show, maybe.
No kidding.
Yeah.
We weren't really playing together until we were probably 25. And at that point, Justin didn't know any real chords. He just had chords that he made up that just sounded really great together.
Yeah.
What?
All right, let's roll with this.
Yeah. So, this sounds like our neighbor, man.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a guy we play with, lives on the street here. He doesn't know the names of any chords. He just knows that this one sounds good when everybody else is doing that. And this one, plays totally by ear.
When I think of stuff like that, I think of Dave Matthews or Chadwick Wild playing upside down and just people who adjust and play what they hear instead of play by book or by instruction.
Yeah.
Sometimes it
It's a different brain, man.
It's a different brain, and it creates a different sound. It creates a uniqueness, and even, you know, an open G is just different if you play it in a different position, or just, you know, it creates something weird that kind of grabs your ear sometimes. So
yeah, I'm definitely weird.
So Noel, how did you get started?
Let's see. I took piano lessons when I was a little kid, and then middle school switched to guitar. And then by the time I was probably 24, enough of my friends needed a bass player that I just bought a bass and fell in love with it, really. Justin's tried to get me to switch back to guitar on a few songs, and I'm like, but the bass! and then mandolin was probably like 3 years ago. We started going to bluegrass festivals, and I got the bug.
Yeah.
Picked up the mandolin from there.
It bites you, yeah.
We'll get you, dude.
Yeah, we've learned
fiddle tunes and shit.
We've learned on this podcast that your road to bass is about how 95% of bass players get there.
Yeah. Right.
Out of necessity.
Yeah, need a bass player.
But we also find out that the ones that just grew with it, that's their instrument. After they find it, they go, So would you consider yourself a bass player first?
Yeah, I'd say so at this point. I still play acoustic guitar around the house just so I've got an apartment. You know, I don't want to bug the neighbors, but beyond that, yeah, I try to play bass as often as I can.
Nice.
So how old were you guys when you guys first met?
We went to New Albany High School together, So okay. Probably in like 16 or something.
But didn't actually play music?
No, we just hung out at parties and stuff.
I'd say we started playing as a band when Justin went to Bonnaroo in probably 2016, and he came back, and things were just different after that. That was probably in June, and our first show was in October. So between June to October, we had to make, you know, at least 2 hours worth of songs, but it was just daily, nightly, just constantly.
Did you guys start writing right away?
Yeah, I always kind of, that's what I gravitated towards immediately, was just kind of like expressing how I felt. More than just like learning chords and stuff, just what felt good and was by ear. Because I think I'm more of a singer by like nature. So I would just kind of like hum with some notes and then start coming up with melodies and just kind of like experiences that I needed to get off my chest would come out.
So when you were coming up, what were you listening to?
I'm a big Red Hot Chili. Well, he was going to probably laugh because he was going to say Hanson. But that was my sister's doing. But they are a good band. I respect them.
No kidding.
But Red Hot Chili Peppers is my band. That's like my go-to. That's like they were...
still doing the thing.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I'm excited to go see them at Louder Than Life.
That'd be amazing. Have you seen them before?
Yeah, but not with Frusciante. And that's my favorite. Yeah, that's my favorite guitarist. So I'm just like, yes.
Yeah, speaking of unique guitar players, I mean, that he is one of the wildest lead guitar players you ever hear just because he's so different. Just brain thinks differently than most.
His solo album stuff's really unique. I don't know if you've listened
to much
of that.
I've never listened to it, no.
Yeah, do you remember what it's called? I can't think of it right now, but you should check it out. It's interesting.
Yeah, I have to do that.
Yeah.
Nathan, where you come into the picture?
It was a few years ago. We started playing together at Wick's Pizza in New Albany. Yeah, it was like 4 years ago. But I was running sound over there and doing open mics and stuff, and these guys would play. And they just sort of invited me up.
Yeah, we didn't have a drummer. So he was like, you guys want me to play drums with you? Seeing us up there just struggling, trying to keep the tempo.
Back then, Justin would beatbox a lot just because we didn't have the drums.
Oh, shit.
It's like, you're watching us struggle up here, man, just knowing that we need a drummer and that you can play and have a set. What?
Justin, if you feel the urge during this podcast sometimes, please go ahead and do a little beatbox.
It wasn't anything good. It was just like a...
Just
simple beatbox, you know.
Yeah. There we go. So, Nathan, have you always been a drummer?
I started drumming when I was probably 12 or 13, but I also started playing guitar around that time.
Okay, multi-instrument. Where is like drums, you think, your first instrument?
I would say so. I'm not a great stringed instrument player, but I can fiddle around.
Do you write?
Sometimes. Nothing that I would want to share with anybody.
Just to get it off your chest, huh?
So Justin, are the do the elements of sound always change around you, or what's that look like?
Yeah, sometimes I have a lot of people who kind of come in and out. just kind of like lead players. I'll have them kind of set in. I do a lot of looping.
Okay.
So I do a lot of shows, maybe not with them, but by myself. And I do looping with like my piano, my electric, and make beats on my piano and then have my acoustic and kind of bring stuff in and out. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, I think it always kind of changes. But these are like the heart. They're kind of the heart of the elements of sound.
That's its own special talent to be able to use a loop station.
Yeah. I played a lot of video games, so I'm just good at pushing buttons at the right time. You know.
Did you bring that with you tonight?
I didn't bring it with me. I wanted to, but I didn't know. I switched everything to acoustic because I didn't know if it would be. But maybe like we can have another separate loop session or something.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, in the future.
Maybe so. I don't think we've had a looper in here, have we?
No.
I wanted to. I was questioning it a lot.
I've got Spencer just gave me the Boss. What is it? The RC1 or whatever, Loop Station 1. Dude, that's the worst.
Yeah. That's, I run the 505.
Yeah, I mean, that's
it's a tabletop legit with like five tracks on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it works pretty well.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, let's play a tune for our listeners here. Tell us about Sober. We've got that queued up, ready to go.
This song is just kind of, it's just about kind of just like, you know, getting through the times and just, you know, you don't always have to be doing drugs or being fucked up or something like that to be high. You know, I don't know if I'm supposed to cuss, but
no.
Yeah, no, so you can, you know, there's other things that get you high in life, you know, just like maybe like love.
Gas,
yeah.
Gas.
So is this song out there available to people?
It was on Spotify, but I don't think I paid my account, so I might need a... They were sending me things like, hey, your card's not working. And I was like, oh, shit.
Hopefully by the time this is live, he'll have played his Spotify.
But it's back on Spotify, yeah.
Right on.
I also found there's a few Justin Millers on Spotify, so...
Yeah, I probably listened to the wrong thing today.
So maybe you gotta find Justin Miller and the Elements of Sound.
Yeah.
Let's check it out. Sober.
So hard, I can feel it all over. Got me itching inside. Come on, get up. What more do you got to give? Come on, get up, get a little higher.
Yeah, I definitely didn't listen to the right track.
Yeah, that was actually like one of the first songs that I like played all the instruments and like produced and stuff by myself.
Right.
So that was a cool like learning experience. Yeah,
I was just gonna ask if that was the three of you guys playing on that, if you were doing that all yourself.
Yeah, I just kind of like, I was hanging out at his martial arts studio and just started kind of working on it day in and day out, and then got something together and was like, okay, that's good. I'll nice. Release it. Yeah.
Martial arts studio.
Yeah, I've got
tell us about that.
A little taekwondo studio. I opened in 2018. It's in New Albany off of Charlestown Road, if you know the area. I had an extra closet there, and we would end the classes, and then all the students would leave, and we'd pull out all the equipment every night, and then the student at the end of the night, roll it back into the closet. It was a process. people get confused because sometimes I'll talk about, oh, we're going to go to the studio to practice. And they're like, oh, you've got a music studio? I was like, we're going to go to the Taekwondo studio to practice.
So you're an instructor.
I am, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, how long you been doing that?
Oh, I don't know, since 1999.
No
something
kidding.
Something like that, yeah. Got my black belt in 2003 and I guess it became a career probably like, yeah, I'd say 2016, 2014, somewhere around there.
No. So how old were you when you started then?
Nine.
9 years yeah. old, okay.
Got my black belt at 14 and 32 now. Jeez. So been at it.
Is Justin a student?
No, I never was.
Sometimes he comes into the bow staff class and spins it around his hips.
I'm good at that one, yeah. I'm good with my hips. That's what they say.
So where did you record that, Justin?
Just in the studio. Yeah, and it's funny because it's literally like a bunch of mirrors and stuff in there and all kinds of like vents. So it's probably like the worst spot to record. But we made it work.
Oh, so yeah. when you were talking about moving everything out, I thought you meant for like rehearsal. You were talking about the record.
Or both. Oh, yeah.
For all occasions.
Yeah, all occasions, yeah. We had a lot of good times, and though, doing that.
It's not just the instruments and the amps either. Justin's got cords galore to hook all of his loop pedals up to other loop pedals, up to floor pedals. We always pulled out the speakers, hooked that through the loop pedal. It is always a thing.
Got messy.
Always a production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were like, man, we need a sound guy in the band.
Yeah, that's when we got Nate.
Try to keep them organized.
Yeah.
Do you still run sound?
Yeah, as often as I can.
I actually think I remember you from Wix New Albany.
Oh, really?
Running sound, yeah.
What was the band's name?
John Stone. We played that again. Yeah.
Yeah.
So while you ever seen New Albany, I'm wondering, like, Aaron Lambert was a music teacher there. He was my drummer. I don't know if he was there when you guys were at New Albany.
Lambert sounds familiar, but I'm not sure.
He's not in New Albany High School, though,
is he? Yeah.
Oh, was he?
He was for years. And his, and I think his wife was too, Mary Lambert. But he was drum line instructor and did all that stuff and the ensemble crap.
I wish I'd have done some of that crap.
Yeah, me too.
So what do you guys have going now? What's going on in the life of Justin Miller and the Elements of Sound?
Yeah, we're getting ready for the Pacey Farm Festival coming up in like 2 weeks. Next Friday, I think.
I got a question. How do you get festival gigs?
I don't know, man.
I was thinking about that today.
We lucked out like our first year and we got hooked up with this festival in Marengo. And it became like home court for us. And we just like created such a good like network with all the people, and then it just slowly started building.
Yeah,
and,
that's awesome.
Yeah, now we're just kind of intertwined with all that, just connecting with all these other festivals through that.
Oh, that's killer.
Oh yeah, that has been
really. It's cool how it starts. But yeah, we're getting ready for that. And
what's the date on that?
That is, we're playing the 9th, September 9th.
Oh, okay. We opened the festival.
Yeah, we opened it up, so that's exciting.
Nice.
There's a lot of big names there too. A lot of like Waterfront Wednesday bands and stuff.
Sweet.
So you guys have already played there.
This is our
podcast. How's the show, guys? Amazing?
Fantastic.
It's going to be a good one. Yeah. We're excited. But I have, I'm playing at the Golden Nugget this Saturday. I'll be doing my looping stuff there.
I got asked to play there today, but it was on Bourbon and Beyond.
Oh, really?
It's like, I'm not doing that.
Nah.
So you're doing the loop station?
Yeah.
Dude, we should go watch that.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Yeah. It'd be cool if y'all came out. And then also Monday, I'll be playing at Huber's Winery.
All right.
I play there like once a month. That's a good spot. And then Tuesday, I'm playing at Tin Roof for like a little singer-songwriter thing.
Is that Derby City Showcase or something like
that?
Yeah. Okay. Do you know who I was playing with you that night?
I don't know.
But that's a pretty good little setup they got going over there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because he really does put a good spotlight on some local singers and songwriters. And I love it, man. Anytime we can like promote somebody else doing something cool like that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, that's awesome. That Tin Roof show, singer-songwriter night. Is that once a month thing?
It's like once a month, yeah. And it's funny because I'm probably going to try to bring my loop stuff. Uh-huh. So I don't know if I should or not because it's singer-songwriter. Mm. But it's kind of what I do.
Is it in the round?
Is it a round? Is that what you said?
Is it in the round? Like, are all of you on stage at once or is it one at a time?
All of us, I think, are on stage at one time. Yeah. And then we trade around.
It gets a little bit tougher.
Yeah. So it's kind of, but I mean, I'm pretty good at setting my stuff up and keeping it pretty tight.
I would say, like, if you were went down to Nashville,
yeah,
you would get scorned if you did that. But you're a little Kentucky. People are a little bit looser. You'd probably be just fine.
Yeah. It's just my thing. I don't know. There's something about catching your own groove, you know, your own tempo and just kind of living in it.
Yeah.
You know?
So is the Huber's gig, is that three of you guys or is that solo also?
That's usually me. Sometimes Noel comes out there and plays with me too. I think we've got something coming up in Cordon, the Alibi. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. It's a little bar in Cordon. We're going to be playing that around the 17th, I think, September.
Staying busy.
Yeah. I mean, it's like my full-time job. Like I make, you know, it's kind of how I make my money.
Yeah.
So every weekend I'm out just kind of getting bars, doing what I can.
Yeah.
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 I see living your name around town quite a bit.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Do you have any other regular places people might be able to see other than Huber's, or you just kind of come and go?
I like the Hitching Post in New Albany. That's like one of my favorite places to play because it gets rowdy.
Does it?
Yeah. Yeah. I like those rowdy bars. Huber's is fun, but I'm more set back.
Yeah, Huber's, you know, is daytime.
Can't cuss or anything like that.
Yeah, he was a little bit buttoned up, I'd imagine.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I like the Hitching Posts, and I play like the Parlors and stuff. There's just a bunch of places. Kingfish, the Pit.
Anywhere that'll give you
anywhere,
money.
Yeah, anywhere I can get in where I fit in, you know.
So who are some of the who's some of the people that's made some appearances with you with the Elements of Sound?
Wow, there's been a lot of them. One that's been on this podcast is Oliver Sayani.
Oh, yeah. Oliver.
That's my boy. Yeah.
Everybody loves Oliver.
Yeah, he's a great dude. He's just invited me today to go play with them at Pacey Farms on their set.
Ah, sweet.
So I was pumped. I was just like, yes.
Yeah. So you'll be playing with Blind Feline.
Yeah. And I've played a couple times with them, so it's cool. It's cool to just kind of hop up and just, because I play like lead/rhythm, and I'm not really a lead guitar player, but it's cool to kind of set in that role.
Is he starting to do more solo stuff?
I'm not sure. I think he's kind of always done a little bit of solo stuff.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I know he's done a little bit, but I didn't know if he's trying to do more. We're gonna have him coming on here real soon. Just solo.
Yeah, that'd be good. He's a great guitar player.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's another guy that we've played with that we like from a band called Frustration. His name's Matt Seeley. Really funny dude. He hops on stage with us sometimes. Ryan Dixon sometimes will get up there and kind of drum with us. There's a bunch of different people. Anybody that wants to come out and kind of, especially at like bars and stuff, since I have all my stuff, if they just want to jump up, I'm usually like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I got six other things I can play.
Yeah. But I have, like, one time I let these dudes jump up and they were like, I'll give you $40 to let us play one song. And I was just like, yeah. I was like, 3 minutes, $40? Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, dude.
Very first drum, he broke my like D string. And I was like, oh, shit. And then the whole song they sung about was about cats and how much they loved cats. And I was just like, oh my God. Yeah, the manager at the bar.
Give me another 40, you can play your dog song.
Pussy, 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 pussy.
Yeah, basically, yeah. They were talking about pussy, yeah. But it was, yeah. It was funny. The manager was kind of mad, but.
So it wasn't good, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad.
I said, what everyone gives me 40 gets the next song. You're the manager, I'll go back up for 40, or they get another one.
Yeah.
I think that's when your Martin was brand new too, and you were like, be really careful with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
One of my seven Martins.
My wife and I were in Nashville. I think we were with my parents, and I can't think of the place that's on a corner. It's like three stories. They have bands on every floor. You know which one I'm talking about. It's always wide open.
Rippies.
But anyway, on the first floor, the band started doing that, letting people come up and sing, or maybe somebody play the guitar, and they were doing it for, if you give them $20, you could come in and sing a song or something. No, they weren't singing. They were just taking requests for $20 a song.
Oh, shit.
Request.
So every song, they would come up, somebody make a request. They all had iPads. They, you know, punch it in if they needed to. They play a song, $20 going to tip jar. Just every 3 minutes, $20 the whole night long.
Man.
That's where they made all the money, because they don't pay them to play Nashville. It's all about the tip.
Yeah.
And they were amazing. You know, some of the songs, they'd be like, well, we don't really know that. And they'd look it up, and they, for about 15 seconds, it sounded like just a bunch of people just playing random shit. And all of a sudden, the song just bust out. Those guys are crazy.
That's tight. We sound like that, but for like 4 minutes. Then maybe the last 10 seconds, it's like,
oh. Oh, yeah. That's how we play it.
Usually when we write a song, too, we don't really talk about it too much. We just kind of let it happen organically. Someone will start a riff, we'll start to jump on, pull off, and then see what comes together. So it usually sounds like chaos for, I'd say like 3 or 4 minutes. And then all of a sudden you catch something like, oh, I think that can be a song.
Yeah. That's how you guys write.
Yeah.
That is always an interesting question about writing, man.
Yeah, so many different styles.
So I mean, I could imagine having a loop station helps the writing process.
Oh, it does, but it also gets you stuck.
Yeah.
It gets you repeating stuff. Yeah. And then you don't break that. You know, you kind of get stuck in the same 4 or 5 chords, and then it's hard to break them. Yeah.
I'd say you've had a lot of good parts come out of it, though. You're like, oh, I was messing on the loop last night, and I came up with this part. Try to play it on the guitar. Try to play it on the bass. And like, oh, okay. Yeah, where'd this guy come from?
Yeah, I think it has its benefits. It's, you know, ups and downs for sure. Yeah. Pros and cons.
Are you guys doing any recording right now?
Not quite right this second. We've just been getting ready for this festival. Yeah. I just moved into a new place, and I'm getting all my stuff set up in the room so I can get like it back to what I was doing before in his studio.
Any songs that you're excited about getting recorded or?
Yeah, I think that Dopamine song we got, that's like one of our favorite right now. It's been a good one. It's been a jam.
Yeah, I watched that on a video today.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's a good one. I like the way it feels. It just, you know, because everybody's kind of searching for that, for something.
No doubt.
Yeah.
It sounds like a common theme in your songs, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Just kind of struggling and then making it and then struggling and making it and, you know, just kind of falling down, getting up. You know, that's all we can do.
We've got more songs not recorded than we do recorded. So really, it's just exciting to get anything recorded at this point.
Yeah.
So how many you think you have in the bank? How many's in the library?
At least 40.
Yeah.
No, okay. Joe. Justin's a songwriting machine.
Yeah. So you write regularly then?
Yeah. Usually just kind of almost every week, really. You know, and I kind of put them in the bank.
Yeah,
and we might come back to them or
use it as a way to express yourself. So if you know, you write a song 1 week and then next week you're like, oh, this doesn't express how I feel. I'm not that sad anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, we gotta throw that song in on the back burner then. Let's move on.
Gotta wait for Justin to get sad.
Yeah.
He can finish that one in.
Yeah.
That's my whole life is waiting for Justin to get sad so we can play a song.
Is that when the best songs come out?
Yeah.
It seems like it. I've been trying to get into more happier songs. I went to the beach like a couple weeks ago and I was like, we need to be playing differently. We need to be playing in just like G major and everything's in like E minor. Yeah. But
Justin Miller and the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
That's what a beach vacation will do for you.
Oh, oh man. For sure.
There's nothing like a beach vacation.
No, it's great.
It's the best.
Yeah. But music's like therapy for me, I think, just for like a lot of musicians, you know. Just kind of like you need it. It's like my medicine. Without it, I feel like I'm stressed out and a little crazy. I can't do the normal life very well.
Yeah.
So you have that, you know, that day of the week that it feels like you're wanting to write something. What's that usually look like for you? Just start playing chords or start writing lyrics, or how does it usually unroll?
It's kind of just like, I kind of just go with the flow, you know, and if it happens, it happens. I try not to force it, you know, and then I like to have a good day. I like to feel like I go to the gym, be productive and have my energy up and then go home and write. You know, if I'm having like a bad day and not really moving much, just kind of like lounging around, I feel like it's harder for me to write.
That's what's wrong with me.
So Noel, you said you guys have about 40 songs. How many unfinished songs you think you have?
Oh, man.
Probably another 40.
Right. I mean, I'd say at least, I think we wrote it out the other day. I think there's 40 songs that are basically done. Maybe we could have some more lead guitar, permanent parts and stuff. But other than that, I think we had like another 15 that were basically riffs that we want to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Pick the genre, you know, it kind of depends on Justin's mood. So, you know, maybe only 15 of them are going to be good to work on because Justin's in that kind of happy mood. And then next week it's like, oh, he's in that sad mood. So we got to switch gears and switch to the different songs we're working on.
Yeah.
I think that's the issue is that we keep on working on 15 songs at a time instead of just like 3.
For sure.
Any songs starting to come out that have any bluegrass feel to them?
Yeah.
I'd say there's like five of them that we use the mandolin on at least.
Yeah.
Maybe six.
Yeah, it's kind of rubbed up on us, the bluegrass. That was the first festival we played at, was a bluegrass festival. Yeah.
And he got into it by meeting a guy in the sauna at the gym.
Nice.
You gotta go, dude.
Yeah, met in the steam room.
Yeah, you asked how we get into festivals. That's, you gotta meet him in the sauna.
Dude. Yeah, nowhere to hang out.
That's how you get, come to the steam room. Yeah.
You book festivals?
What'd you say?
What kind of covert shit is that, boy?
Nathan, do you get in on the songwriting any?
As much as I can. I mean, as much as... It's really just about organizing things and finding the form to riffs that they've come up with. You know what I mean?
Like
sometimes I'll get to it and it's sort of out of order or... You know what I mean? Like, not, I don't know. I'm not very good at explaining things, but.
Justin and I are a mess. So Nate's like, why are we doing this way?
Huh? Yeah.
He makes us question why we're doing the things we do. We're like, we don't know.
Yeah. Try to simplify, you know? I think it gets you further.
Sometimes when they bring some of this stuff, is it kind of chaotic and needing structure?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how, look, if you're a songwriter, that's how your brain works. Brain works in trying to create something out of chaos, because I don't think most songwriters, myself included, especially if it's not because you have this intent, it's more like you got to get it out. You got to say what you need to say, because otherwise you're going to sit with this emotion. You know, I talked about the happy and the sad, and you know, it's like you get it out. You say what you need to say. As a songwriter, probably in need of somebody like Nathan that will help me go, all right, well, this is cool. Now let's make it a song. Let's structure it in a way. Where are we going? What's the, you know, kind of way to smooth out the edges.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't know if that's what Nathan does or if, you know, that it, with what he brings to the table. But, you know, it's a value, because I think that a lot of times songwriters just think in a different way.
So when you sit down to write a song, Neil, do you have all these pieces that you're trying to put together in some structured song? Or do you start like, here's the beginning of the song and work your way through a song?
I start with a blank page and I say everything I need to say and then I walk away. Very, very few times do I write and it's done.
You're just like brainstorming. You might have four pages or what?
No. The only song I've ever done that with was Rocket. The only song I had like 7 pages of lyrics before I figured out what that song was. And I've never done that before. That one I battled. Most of the time it's, I don't know if it's like you where you just kind of words, here's my emotion, here's this melody, write it. If I take time to think, and sometimes I start to think and then I can come up with something quick, but if it's not there, I just leave it alone.
End up overthinking it or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you do that, you know, I have a weird, Brent West thinks it's super weird that I can turn this page to the 15th thing and there's these lyrics and I know exactly what the melody is. I know exactly what the chords are. And the only thing on there's words.
Yeah.
There's not a note. There's nothing.
I wish I could do that. Yeah.
So, I mean.
Are you a singer? I mean, do you feel like you're a singer first before?
No. I don't know. I probably used to be, but I never sing. And singing is a muscle. If you don't sing, you know, it is now, it's a workout for me.
For sure.
Instead of it just being like, when I'm in like, an hour and a half into a gig, I'm rolling. By like the third hour, when I used to be able to just keep on rolling, I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
My voice, I don't have that muscle built up like I used to. Now, if I just did it, but my guitar playing is so much better than it used to be, and everything else has improved.
You kind of speak through your instruments now.
Yes and no, because I still write.
Yeah.
And I can still sing. You know, it's just...
He's like, ADHD, so today it's guitar, tomorrow it's singing. Next week it'd be banjo.
Well, when I think of singer, though, I think of like, we grew up with Toy. I think of, you know, this guy who was one of my heroes growing up as a singer and a friend. And he went to UK as a music major and sang in their productions. And I mean, talk about a singer. I think of that is his instrument. He is a singer. So my thing of like, are you a singer is a high bar.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like comparing Bruno Mars to like Bob Dylan.
Yes. Yes. And is Bob
You're
Dylan
somewhere
a
in
singer?
Between, maybe.
Yeah. And I mean, just I can get my point across, and I can sing well enough. But yeah, dude, I think that when I think of it, Bruno Mars is a perfect example. Yeah. He can do a lot of shit, but he can sing like nobody else.
Yeah, for sure.
On the planet.
So, Justin, do you write songs in pieces?
Yeah. I do, yeah. They kind of come to me in pieces, and then maybe like 6 months later, another piece comes, and it's like, oh, okay, here we go.
I kind of thought it might be like that, just listening to you guys talk, and then Nathan talking about having to be some structure.
But, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, somebody we had on a podcast, and it just struck me. We were talking about phone messages, and I don't know if you remember who it is or not, but they were talking about phone memos, yeah, and that they had thousands of lines. And if they needed a line about, I don't know, the beach or whatever, they can go back. They would just go back and search on lines they had written previously about the beach. And I'm thinking, man, my brain doesn't work like that at all. I'm way too linear.
Nah, I got stuff everywhere.
Same. Yeah. I have a lot of stuff in my notes on my phone.
Yeah, we got memos. I've got notes. I've texted myself a ton of voice Same. Stuff. I've got sheets of paper, just
chicken scratch all over it. You can't even really like. Wait, what does that say?
Here's a good one. This is a. How many notebooks do you have? There you go. Same as me. I don't have one notebook. I have 50 notebooks, and all of them have 14, or pages or 150 pages filled out. It's random as hell.
Yeah.
You did lose one time, though. You were really upset about it.
I freaked out. I found it. Spencer had it. I did do that. Well, you know why? Because that's the one that I was rewriting everything that, all right, these are going to be the finished products. I'm going to write the actual stuff. So, then I lost it.
Yeah, we've got stacks of paper plates where Justin's like, quick, make a note. Grab a paper plate, take a note.
Yeah.
Are you a notebook at a time kind of guy?
You see a lot of that in the, that's cool. Like when you go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you'll see lyrics written on a napkin, the original napkin. You guys been there?
Yeah, we've never been there.
Oh, that's killer, man.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Where's that at?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. I'll check that out.
But they'll have paper plates, napkins, and things, that the original lyrics were written on.
Yeah, like the original Stones lyrics for freaking, I don't know. Just, it's crazy. It's awesome.
You know how I am, Neil. I mean, I'm not a singer or songwriter, but I like to try sometimes. But I'm very linear. So, like, I might have an idea or a line that comes to me when I'm out hiking or something. But then when I sit down to write a song, I'm like starting at the beginning and working my way through. And if I can't get to the end, I can't jump ahead. I got to wait till I get the middle.
Yeah, if he has five lines and he's got, there is no eighth line that in his head. To where me, I can write, I've got a verse and then, ooh, here's this other line for a start of a chorus, and I can start a chorus and then come back because the verse isn't done.
Yeah.
Do you already have the chords picked out before you start playing?
I have the melody, so everything's written.
Cool.
Once the melody's written, it's written. You know, I just go, all right, that's A, okay. And then it's,
Nice.
Yeah.
When Justin sends me a voice memo, it's usually just his vocal gibberish mixed with his guitar gibberish. And then they just kind of click like a magnet. And then I was like, oh, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
They have to find each other.
Then Nathan has to come and see if it really makes sense.
Yeah, he's like, what do you all got smoking?
This does not make sense. Yeah, it is. It's interesting. We spend a lot of time talking about songwriting because you can just see how different, people think, how differently people think, and just the way they operate through songwriting, especially.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I was thinking, you asked about chords. Now, sometimes I'll write a song just where I, you know, just feel like a cadence or a timing to the lyrics. And I'm trying to write, lyrics that kind of just fall in this cadence. I'm kind of feeling it's not really a melody, or it's not really chords. It's just like a timing thing. Da, 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 you know, you ever do that?
If I'm writing something super wordy. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how you have to write.
Kind of like, maybe you should be like a rapper or something.
Maybe so.
It kind of, I mean, that is what it tends to be. I mean, but like, think of Daily Feed, that song that I wrote. That's what a lot of that is. It's just cadence. It's more hitting timing than it is anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do some rap songs. There's some songs that we've written.
You have to if you beatbox and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes I do like Gangster's Paradise or like Changes by Tupac.
Nice.
I do those. But we've written a lot of like songs that have rap. We actually kind of started out that way a little bit.
Nice.
Kind of like rapping a little bit. Yeah.
Rapping with the acoustic and beatbox.
Yeah.
You got any rap songs for One Shot tonight?
No, I didn't. I've been trying to retire them a little bit. As I'm getting older, I'm like, wait a second.
That's a
young man's
game. Just a little
bit. Yeah.
Oh, don't do that. You got to pull those out every now and then.
Yeah. I'll be like 70 years old out there rapping. Like, who is this dude?
That's why the band's called The Elements of Sound, because we draw influence from, like you said, Hanson, Chili Peppers, and then we got rap influence, and then we got really into bluegrass when we started going to the bluegrass festival, so we got the bluegrass influence.
It speaks to the soul.
I'm deep in, man.
Yeah.
All right, so who's somebody that you like to listen to that you're kind of ashamed to admit?
Probably was Hanson.
Yeah, sorry if you weren't trying to say that.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I'm open about it.
I had no shame in my listening, man.
Nathan, did I see you leaning into the microphone? Were you getting ready to share this one? You're ashamed of?
Oh, I really like Coldplay. Coldplay's right. Really, they're really talented, I think.
Yeah, they're good.
But they're kind of like pop, I guess.
You know, I don't listen to them, but I always do go, why does everybody joke on Nickelback so much, man? They write catchy shit.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan by any means. But why? How in the world did Nickelback? Could you imagine being Nickelback and being like, how is it us? How did we become the joke?
I think I could write some Nickelback songs.
I mean, everybody could. Everybody could write some Nickelback stuff. You just got to be catchy.
You can almost tell the next line first time you ever hear the song.
Right.
Here it comes.
Hear me that photograph. Every time I do it, makes me laugh. You're right. I take back that question.
Their songs are catchy, but I feel like it's the fact that they take themselves so seriously.
Think so? I thought it was maybe it was the short curly hair, man. Maybe it's because they're Canadian, eh? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they seem like nice fellas.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So our listeners want to follow you guys a little more closely. What can they find out there now after you pay your Spotify fees?
Yeah, they can find us on like Instagram and stuff. It's like Elements of Sound Music. On Facebook, it's Justin Miller and the Elements of Sound.
We got a YouTube too.
Yeah, we got a YouTube that we post stuff on occasionally. Elements of Sound Music.
After this festival, we really need to get the gear going to record, though.
Yeah.
It needs to be a top priority. Justin's been pushing for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just keep on getting booked for these little festivals, which is good. But keep
spending
on pushing.
Too much time with naked dudes and saunas.
Yeah.
Well, man, we appreciate you guys coming in and talking with us.
Yeah, we appreciate you all a lot.
Yeah, man.
We're going to go out with Soldier. Tell us about that one.
Sweet. This is actually, I wrote this song. My dad actually passed away, and I kind of, it's like an anthem to him and just like to myself to kind of like keep going. This happened like last year, like October. Yeah. So it was a good one for me. But it's just about like pushing through that you got it, you know?
Right on.
All right, man. Well, let's check it out. Soldier.
me know where I'm a soul. But I can tell you that I told your wounds that I'm never gonna fold you. Yeah, I'm never gonna fold you. Yeah.